the story has run its course, and you know, it's time to look forward. In 2 months or 3 months, it's football season, and then in 6 months, it's, thank God, basketball season again, and we'll see where we are.
Uh-oh. By the way, what if I told you that I wasn't recording any of that?
Are you serious?
Oh, no. I think I might not have been. Do you have, like, 25 minutes or so? We can run through it all again.
Yeah, we could do it again. Why not? I'm not going to bed for...
Oh, boy. I'm so sorry.
Don't apologize. It's fine. That's... I feel, better.
Okay. So...
Are you recording?
I am recording.
All right.
And, you guys missed the most groundbreaking, insightful, brilliant stuff from Dave White and myself, Norman Rose, on the 11th episode of Not Half Bad. Unfortunately, I wasn't recording, so you're going to get episode 11.5 of Not Half Bad.
What a podcast it was, and now you're going to get the half-assed, rushed version.
It's true. It's true. The thing where I explained where clouds come from and how there are actually dragons underneath the Earth, mind-blowing.
Amazing. And how it relates to Steve Lavin was,
yes,
impressive.
Because Steve Lavin... Oh, I can't say it now. Because that was wrong. I really should not have revealed that secret about Steve Lavin's past.
Yeah, there's probably a violation in there somewhere.
It really is.
The dragon violation. I think that's in the NCAA rulebook.
It's worse than a bagel with a schmear. This is the 11th episode of Not Half Bad, the podcast covering St. John's and Rutgers basketball's ascent to at least mediocrity. This is Norman of Rumble in the Garden, who can be found at rumbleinthegarden.com and on Twitter at ecoastbias and rumblesbn, and also on Tumblr, but we don't need to talk about that right now.
This is Dave White of On the Banks, the Rutgers blog, and you can find me on Twitter at Dave _White, and I don't have a Tumblr.
In this episode, because we've already talked about many of these things, we are going to be talking a bit about the small changes in St. John's, a quick update on Mike Rice, because that relates to one of the St. John's updates. There will be a bit about Amir Garrett. There will be Rutgers and the cluster that is the Scarlet Knights program right now.
Yeah.
And more about the search committee and what...
Wait. Let me stop you. I think when you talk about the cluster that is Rutgers, let's not talk the basketball program.
At
this point, that's just the side story.
And it's actually on the upswing.
Yes, exactly. Exciting. Yeah, so we might be not half bad. Anyway, go ahead.
So we will get to that. All right. So all of those things will be covered. And I'm going to cut this little bit out because I didn't need to go back to that. First... St. John's has had a much less eventful offseason than the Rutgers Scarlet Knights, who you know have fired Tim Pernetti, their former athletic director, have fired their former coach Mike Rice, and have seen their president, is it Robert Barchi?
Robert Tap Dancing Barchi.
Robert Tap Dancing Barchi come under fire even after getting support from Governor Chris Christie. And the Rutgers has also hired a new athletic director who turns out to have skeletons because she's at Rutgers.
That's right. Where Betting is our middle name.
Yes, Betting is their middle name or their middle finger. And even the Rutgers new basketball head coach had a little oops come out of the closet, which isn't his fault, but we will get to that.
We'll get this. St. John's, here we go.
Yes, first, St. John's. St. John's doesn't have as many changes coming up in their offseason, but they do have a new player, Rishi Jordan, from the Philadelphia Public League. He's one of the top scorers in the Public League, if not the top scorer. He's a dynamic point guard, about 6'4", ball dominant, but a decent passer, solid shot, long, lengthy, lanky. He's a top 25, top 30, top 40 kind of pick. And he actually is the highest-ranked recruit that St. John's has brought in Steve Lavin's tenure. So there's a lot of excitement about Rishi Jordan, But then the question, of course, is how does he fit? The Johnny's weaknesses probably are a little bit more in the front court, where Orlando Sanchez will come in and God's gift will return. But Rishi Jordan is expected to make this team a little better. Can he make everybody else shoot? I don't know. Coming back with the Johnnies and hopefully going on the summer tour to Barcelona, Italy, and I believe France, will be D'Angelo Harrison, the shooting guard star for the Johnnies. He has been...
As long as he's not late for the plane.
Harrison, who had some run-ins with the coaching staff and some difficulties in maintaining his responsibilities. D'Angelo Harrison was basically booted from the team, but it was said that he could work his way back to the squad, but with good behavior and basically showing certain benchmarks, I suppose, of progress. So we don't know that he'll be back with the program and traveling to traveling abroad. But right. let's assume that he will be.
Let me ask a question about Harrison.
Mm-hmm.
If he does pass all these benchmarks,
mm-hmm.
will it officially be the first time he passes as a St. John's Red Storm basketball player?
Ha ha ha! you have your jokes with that, but he's not been academically ineligible at all.
Oh, I didn't mean academically.
Okay.
Playing 1-on-5.
Nice. I see what you're saying, and I think you make a good point.
Oh, do I?
Yes.
A ball dominant guard. There are a lot of them on your team.
Yes. Rishi Jordan will be a ball dominant guard. D'Angelo Harrison is a ball dominant guard. Phil Green's favorite play is dribbling up court, shifting a little bit to the right, getting into the middle of the lane, and taking an sometimes off-balance jumper, because he's a ball-dominant guard and he doesn't pass.
Hmm. Yeah, so...
And
your assist-to-turnover ratio must be
you know, it's not
enormous.
That bad. The team actually doesn't turn the ball over so much because they shoot before anybody could, you know, force a turnover.
It's just zero. Your assist-to-turnover ratio is just zero.
It's a problem. You know, there isn't really a lot of sharing the sugar, as Steve Lavin had said to his first team. And this team needs to share some sugar and some flour and maybe a couple of cupcakes, you know, maybe a beer or two. All of that. They need to share.
And how are they going to learn to share?
I don't know. They're going to go abroad and hopefully in the tournament they're playing in, I think it's a Basket St. Julia. I don't know. I cannot tell you. One just only hopes that they realize that the best way to get the ball in the hoop is to find a guy streaking to the basket and also playing defense.
Yeah.
So,
and that's when St. John's was at their best last year, when they forced turnovers and got out in the open court and passed the ball.
Yep. So D'Angelo Harrison is down in Houston with John Lucas for at least part of the offseason. And I think Dave was saying that John Lucas has a special guest helping him out.
Yeah, Mike Rice is working with John Lucas as well. He's helping him out. Is it a camp? Is that what Lucas runs?
It's more of a training program. It's not really. I'm not sure if that it's an official camp. I think it's more just, you know, he trains people.
Yeah, and that's pretty much what Mike Rice is doing. He's there for anger management courses. Apparently he's doing very well in them, and he's also assisting in the training. He's training some of the players there. I don't know in what. There wasn't a major press conference or press release. Lucas just spoke to the press briefly when it leaked out that Rice was there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's about it. He's making the steps. Clearly Rice wants to be involved in coaching, and clearly Rice has a lot of friends in coaching, and if he does what's asked of him, he'll get there.
All right. So that is a positive.
Yeah.
And,
so,
you know, good for him. You know, I'm sure he's tossing balls at D'Angelo Harrison, and D'Angelo Harrison is giving some choice words, and then they both realize that they need to improve their behavior, and then they start singing Kumbaya, and everything is all good.
Exactly.
So Harrison's worked with John Lucas before, who was helping him with his ball handling and his ability to basically to play as a point guard, which he will need if he wants a career in the future. I think he also might need to lose a small amount of weight. But, you know, he needs to find a way to be a little bit more, I don't know, have a little more bounce if he wants to go pro. But that's another thing altogether. That's D'Angelo Harrison and a little Mike Rice update. And
Amir Garrett.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
My favorite Red Storm, former Red Storm.
Is he your favorite?
He transferred, so it means you have chemistry problems. And no, it's a distraction from Rutgers.
No. That's not how it works.
Look, somebody else has bad news.
Okay, Dave, we'll go with that. Bad news. So, Amir Garrett, the 6'6 wing from California and Las Vegas, who also is a minor league pitcher in the Red system, decided to transfer. He's transferring to Cal State Northridge, where Seton Hall's Kevin Johnson is also trying to transfer. And I think you know the coach of Cal State Northridge, Dave?
Reggie Theus, actor extraordinaire, Saturday morning star.
You know, Hang Time was a fine show.
Hang Time. What was that theme song again?
Hang Time, running together. Hang Time, putting it on the line.
You frighten me.
I used to know all the words.
You probably still do, but we're making this a little brief.
Yeah, I'm trying to seem a little less bizarre than I really am. Yes, I do know many of the words to Hang Time. I did watch it on Saturday mornings. I did appreciate it. I was probably slightly too old for it, but Anthony Anderson was on the show. I don't know if you know Anthony Anderson, but I think he's a funny guy. Solid actor, keeps getting, you know, kind of crappy sitcoms. He was on The Last Law and Order.
Oh, well, yeah. There you go.
Yeah. But, Reggie Theus, who had coached at New Mexico State, seems to not be a bad coach, but I think he wanted a lot of professional looks, he wanted a professional job or a higher-level job.
Higher-level, yeah.
And decided just to, take the Northridge job when it came up. And I think it'll be good for him. I think he's turning Cal State Northridge into a bit of a transfer U. He's got, that Kevin Johnson thing going on, the Amir Garrett. I think they have another transfer. I can't remember who it is. And I think his son might be coming with him to play at Northridge, which is, you know, basically in L.A., you know, north in the valley.
Yeah, I mean, that's a perfect spot. And as we said before, but nobody else heard it, that seems to be the way those West Coast teams are being built. And a lot of those smaller teams, that quick turnaround, you get some high major players that aren't fitting in on the teams they're already on, and you pull them down a level, and they can help you turn your team around.
Yeah, I mean,
quickly.
They can be really impact guys. I mean, Amir Garrett is an excellent athlete. He just, you know, he hasn't really had the time to develop his full game, but there are a lot of good things that he can do on the court. I mean, he can even shoot a little bit.
And pitch.
With the Reds, he's in extended spring training last I heard, but I think he'll be up in Billings again with their single A team. And, he's actually coming along as a prospect. You probably don't read Baseball Prospectus, but for the overly obsessed, you know, being in Baseball Prospectus means that you're actually a prospect. Mm-hmm. And he even got himself a little blurb, which was
nice.
That's when I knew that he wasn't going to be long for St. John's.
Yeah.
So, yes, Amir Garrett is gone. St. John's has a summer tour. It's in St. Julia de Villatorta, which is a little bit outside of Barcelona in the Catalonia region. So that'll be lovely. I'm sure there'll be lots of pictures. It turns out, as an aside, that I will be in Europe a week before, and my wife and I have loosely joked about me just happening to stick around an extra week and bumming around Europe.
Might as well. Why not?
Wouldn't that be fun? Well, there's the whole job thing.
Yeah.
You know, and vacation. But, if I'm doing something slightly different, or if I have extended vacation time where I can work something out, that might be an amusingly silly thing to do, because I can't imagine what I would do in Spain for a week. I mean, I'd see the sights again. I drink some good wine and cheap bread and eat all that jamón ibérico.
Again.
Again. Life is really tough.
I know. In Europe.
Yeah. Have you ever been to Spain?
No.
Do you like ham?
Ham?
Yeah, or bacon.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like heaven, man. It's beautiful.
God. Spanish bacon?
Yes. Jamón ibérico. It's like Spanish ham, but it's very bacon-like. It's just they can cure it in a way that we can't do in the States because it basically requires you to leave hocks of ham hanging at room temperature and warm temperatures, and it cures it a little bit differently. But the FDA does not allow you to do that here and sell that food.
Oh, well.
Yeah. Anyway, so while after our delicious diversion...
Take a deep breath there.
Oh, man. Man, my mouth is watering. Oh. Yes. So let's get to the drama that has been the Rutgers Scarlet Knights program.
Getting sweaty palms just thinking about it again.
Yeah. It's tough because we're in this position now where not everything has been solved, and it seems that Rutgers is in more of a wait-and-see place right now.
Yeah, they're in a let's hope this goes away place. There hasn't been an article written about them in this situation in about 3 or 4 days. You know, I like to call it in middle school terms the 2 week rule. Mm-hmm. You know, all the drama that happens when you're in middle school and everybody gets all worked up, and then in 2 weeks it's forgotten about.
Yeah,
and I think that's what Rutgers is hoping is going on now. You know, okay, it's been 2 weeks. You guys don't remember.
So Julie is Herman. It working?
No. I don't know. I mean, I think after her... Julie Herman, you know, for those of you that don't know, was hired to be the next AD of Rutgers. And about 18 seconds after she was hired and gave a press conference, the media found a tape that she said didn't exist that caused her to lose a litigation with her assistant volleyball coach because... Julie Herman basically said, you probably shouldn't get pregnant. You might not be able to coach. And then when the woman was 4 months pregnant, she was fired. They found a letter from the Tennessee volleyball team saying that she was mentally abusive when she was the coach of that volleyball team, and they would not play for her. And Julie Herman walked away from the team. So there's a lot of things in her past that at Rutgers right now does not seem, no matter how qualified she is, and she seems to be very qualified resume-wise, does not seem to be the right fit just because of all the Mike Rice and Prinetti and, you know, public relations problems that Rutgers has had. And that's kind of where we are. She gave a press conference last week to try and calm everything down and still manage to cross up answers and give confusing answers. But it looks like it's dying down at the moment. She met with some donors and some people who were still holding on to the hope that Tim Prinetti would come back. And she seemed to, by media accounts, win them over a little bit. And if she does that, you know, if she can get the rack redone and keep money pouring in for football, she'll be okay.
Okay. Well, that's, you know, that's sort of like, I suppose that's positive in terms of stability. But obviously, the Rutgers alums, and we've learned all sorts of things earlier about, you know, the true distinction between alumni and graduate.
Graduate. Oh, yeah, there was a whole vocabulary lesson on the unrecorded podcast.
we'll get back to that, though.
Yeah.
So in terms of the athletic director thing, how are you feeling about it, and how do Rutgers partisans feel about it right now? And also about the whole cluster that came along with it, with Barchi and with Governor Christie.
Robert Tap Dance of Barchi. Well, it's basically New Jersey. When you bring in Christie and the Sweeney people who are involved, a bunch of politicians and high-level moneymakers whose last names are Sweeney were involved in this. And, you know, whenever there's a scandal that has to do with New Jersey, every politician gets up and starts shouting and making sure their name is known, that sort of thing. And it kind of causes things that maybe didn't need to happen, like Prinetti resigning kind of thing. If the politicians had stayed out of it, he'd probably have kept his job. That sort of thing. There were rumors that on Monday, when the tape was going to be released, Christie called Prinetti and said, whatever you need, I got your back. And by Wednesday, the day before Pernetti resigned, you know, Governor Christie stopped answering phone calls. And that's New Jersey politics in a nutshell. Mm-hmm. So there's that. There's and how I feel about it in terms of Herman, I don't think with everything that went on at the time, Rutgers could stand to withstand the storm of embarrassment that was going on. I thought they needed to let her go and actually make a show of doing things right. They've made so many vetting choices in the past 2 months, or poor vetting choices, or no vetting choices, or not vetting at all mm-hmm. in the past 2 months, that they needed to make a show of, we're going to do this the right way right now. And it appears that they're not going to do that. They're not going to let her go. They're going to try and withstand the storm and hope that nothing else, no other bombshells about Julie Herman come out in the next couple weeks.
So, you know, in all of this, there's also the question of, you know, there was a search committee, Parker search firm, and, you know, there were some articles that rightfully took a couple of good swings at them. And mm-hmm. how do you hire a search firm but still come up with this kind of disastrous result that comes up with something that, you know, honestly, people could Google? And people, you said you're one of your former On the Banks colleague even knew about before the press conference.
Yeah, wrote the article about the pregnancy scandal 2 days before she was Julie Herman was selected. I mean, it seemed to be a let's put our head down, let's make a PR hire. The press won't care; they'll just be happy that we hired. You know, Sean Fraser was the other candidate, and he's a black man. And there were some articles after the fact that, you know, Kate Sweeney, who was the head of the AD search through Rutgers, not the search committee that they hired, but the search committee from the university that did the interviews and sort of thing, wanted Julie Herman, and possibly there were suggestions that they wanted a woman and pushed her through without worrying about her background.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's nothing wrong with hiring a woman, a qualified woman, but you have to hire the right person for the job at the time, you know, and you have to know the political and public relations layout. And they didn't seem to care about that. They thought that everybody would just be happy and go away.
And they did not.
They did not, not for 3 long weeks.
And along with the search committee, just messing up.
Mm-hmm.
What's with all the leaks? I know that there were other people like the Sean Fraser, and mm-hmm. there was the Florida State AD, perhaps.
Florida State was I mean, there were so many leaks. This was such a rushed and not secret search. Originally, the Fresno State AD, I believe his name's Thomas Bowe, was the front runner. Everybody thought he was going to get the job. Apparently he interviewed really well, and he pulled his own name out because he thought Fraser or Herman, I'm not sure which, was definitely going to get the job. And he didn't want to go this far and only to lose out on the job. The Florida State AD, his name was involved early on, but that was supposed to be under the guys that his name would be kept secret and kept within the search committee, search group, whatever they're called. And the name leaked out, and it almost seems like the really good candidates were kind of chased away because they weren't fitting what Rutgers was looking for in terms of that PR hire. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it does.
Saying? Yeah. So, I don't know. It seemed to be a bull in a china shop, kind of. This is what we want. This is what we're going to get higher, instead of let's see who's the best guy out there or girl out there for the job.
Well, maybe, you know, it might have had a little bit to do with the rush time frame, with having to find somebody to fill the slot so quickly. That said, you still have to do the job right.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Once Eddie Jordan was hired, I don't know why the rush to fill the AD position. I mean, football was fine. Football's going to be fine. All the other programs seem to be running well on their own. And Jordan was hired and has really been doing his job well up to this point. So all the programs have seemed to stabilize. And it took 2.5 months to find Tim Pernetti when Bob Mulcahy resigned or was fired or whatever happened to him. Mm-hmm. This could have taken another 2.5 months.
Yeah. but then you wouldn't have an AD. I don't know how important that is, but, you know, maybe that was a, I don't know. I don't know. I have no idea, actually. You know, I can't think about, it's hard for me to say how important an AD is, especially once you have somebody hired, but then you have to, Eddie Jordan was hired before Julie Herman, right?
Well before, yeah, about a month before.
So if you can already hire a coach, then what do you need an AD for?
Exactly. So it's just been a month or two of just cluster.
Yes, I mean, there are a lot of things that have gone wrong, but it seems like Eddie Jordan, even with the thing that went wrong, is going right. Now, he was, when he was hired, he was announced as having a degree from Rutgers, but having graduated from Rutgers. And as you know, that is not true.
No, that is.
There's a significant distinction between a graduate and an alumni.
Yes, he is an alumnus of Rutgers, but he never got his degree. An alumnus means you have attended the school, but you did not get your degree. For example, I am a graduate of Rutgers and Montclair State, but I am a alumnus of Caldwell College because I only got a certificate there. I didn't get my degree. And, you know, Eddie Jordan took a bunch of classes, but he never finished up. And that was just another symptom. It was probably the first symptom of this whole thing of Rutgers not doing their vetting.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that was the first sign of it. So,
because you just had to go down the hall and confirm, or just, you know, make sure in a situation like that that you have all of your facts straight.
Exactly, and they didn't. They just assumed that he was the guy, and he must be a graduate, and he must have his degree, and he didn't. And Jordan handled it well. I mean, he's back in class. He expects to finish, and he's going to turn this into a PR positive. He really is. He's going to walk. Maybe next year. And could you imagine that picture tweeted out of him and Wally Judge? I guess he's the only official senior on the team.
Yeah.
You know,
that's a real win. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So that's where that he is. And he's done a heck of a job. I mean, half the team transferred, sort of. And he's pulled in some recruits, a couple of JUCO guys. He saved one of Rice's recruits, a JUCO wing. He got J.J. Moore from Pittsburgh in. He got a transfer from Iowa State, a guard in. Mm. And then there's the interesting case of Jerome Seegers.
Yes, I hear Jerome Seegers went down to Alabama and said, what the hell is down here?
Yeah, Jerome transferred in the midst of all this stuff. And he decided, I think he thought he was going to get more playing time at a bigger school. For a while, Maryland and NC State was interested, but they don't have the room for him to play. And so he went to Auburn, where there's clearly room for him to play. And apparently he's homesick, or as Tony Barbary said, not emotionally recovered from Rutgers. But the rumor is that
you know what, that is sweet of Tony Barbie to say, because
yeah, I think throw a lot of coaches, him right under the bus.
Well, I don't think that's I think you can see that as that, but I think that's actually a lot nicer than the very terse, like, two line Jerome has decided to leave the program.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, I think that's what the release was when Shane Larkin'd DePaul, you know, when he was like, oh, I've got a sickness, medical, something. I need to be back in Orlando. Yeah. I'm going to go to Miami, which isn't that close to Orlando. Yeah. But, you know, hey, I mean, we're not doing any sort of vetting of that stuff either. But anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, no, exactly. But the real interesting rumor is Jerome might want to come back to Rutgers.
Mm-hmm.
A lot would need to happen. I guess Barbie would have to give Seegers his unconditional release, and he could go back. But that's the rumor, and that's where we stand right now. And it's looking like if Seegers can come back, it will be a pretty veteran and talented team if all the ifs happen.
Yeah, the rule that you'd sent to me basically said that if somebody transfers but they haven't participated in competition,
Yes, something like that.
That they can then go back and it's like, and they don't have to like wait a year or anything.
Mm-hmm. So hopefully that's what happens. And if so, next year, but this that's for another podcast, could be very interesting. I need to wait and see if all the ifs happen.
Things are for the actual basketball team looking, I wouldn't say up, but they're looking decent. I mean, there's no Eli Carter, but maybe the team's better without Eli Carter.
Maybe. You never know, especially if J.J. Moore can get a waiver and play the wing.
Mm-hmm.
So
I mean, J.J. Moore is a heck of an athlete, a pretty good scorer. And honestly, I do think that maybe under a different system, a lot of those guys would have flourished a little bit more because they didn't develop as much as one thought that they would have from freshman to sophomore year.
That's where we stand with Eddie Jordan and the Rutgers situation.
I will end by saying that we are happy to be back for the summer. We're happy to occasionally pop up in your lives as the Not Half Bad podcast. Keep looking out and keep listening and keep reading our stuff. This is Norman of Rumble in the Garden.
And this is Dave White of On the Banks. And, saying see you soon.
And yes, and we will see you soon.